Hey there, listeners. This is Justin from Beyond the Uniform. Just wanted to give you an update as an in-between episode. Wanted to share with you a couple things. Did a career transition recently, and it's been a while since my 100th episode, in which I shared my own story of career transitioning. And I wanted to talk through what my own career transition has looked like. My intention in doing that is, first of all, just because you know a lot about me, and so you might as well know what's going on in my life. But second of all, I know I spend so much time talking to other people about their own career transition. I wanted to be open and authentic about how I've approached two different transitions in the last year and a half. And then lastly, at the end, I'd love to talk about, based on the transition, what's going to be going on with me at Beyond the Uniform and some exciting things that are in the works, half-baked and not fully developed. But if that's of interest to you, this is a good episode for you. The other thing I just wanted to call out as well is, if you haven't listened to episode 180, I talked to Andy Chan about career advice. He was my old career advisor back at Stanford Business School. And he said, and this was a quote I pulled from his interview, he said, "You get out of the job search process what you put into it. This process is an investment in yourself. And you go at it really hard the first time. If you go at it really hard the first time, it will be easier the next time you want to do it. If you do it the right way the first time, you'll probably do it right the next time." And why I think that that's relevant is that at this point, I'm 12 years out of the military. I did my career transition to business school. I did my business school transition at first thinking of consulting and then into startups. And, you know, I've had more civilian work experience at this point, twice as much more than I did in the military. And so hopefully in my story, you realize that for those of you on active duty, this transition is the first of many. For those of you who have been out for a while, to know that just as a reminder, we're all constantly going through transitions. It's something that we're all in together. And so hopefully you don't feel alone in that at all. So let me start with kind of the job situation I was in a year ago. And then I'll talk about the job situation I'm in currently, and then we'll talk about what's ahead for Beyond the Uniform. So about a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, as many as you know, I went to business school at Stanford, afterwards raised about $3 million for a technology startup called Storybox. And so a year and a half ago, I was about 10 years in, or eight years into that journey. And reached the conclusion that I, you know, after 8 years, wanted to do something new. I was fortunate and able to keep the business running without me directly involved on a day-to-day basis. But I knew that I wanted growth. I wanted growth and challenge and something new. And I came to that decision through working with an executive coach. It was over the course of months. There was a lot of reluctance for me. There was a lot of feeling of failure. A lot of shame around that. I think I'd went into the startup world for excitement. I think that I honestly stayed in it for the thought of extreme wealth. And when I had visions of, you know, selling the company for hundreds of millions of dollars, anything besides that, I started to view as failure. And so I think for me, that first career journey was about being honest that I was very burnt out on the company, being honest that that while I hadn't achieved what I wanted for the company, there were still things to be proud of and things that I had learned that I was grateful for. And so I started to look around. I started to do a lot of consulting. I started to do a lot of different projects. And through that, through networking, actually, this is wild. I met with an Air Force Academy grad here in Denver. And that, through a series of a dozen more meetings, led to one of the two job options that I was considering. So it basically, to cut to the chase, it boiled down between one of my friends from Stanford invited me to be CEO of a company that he had started. It was in the security space. It was facial recognition technology for videos, so very high tech. Some of the appeals of that was I'd be CEO again. An appeal there is that they had great financial backers, great investors. They had a tech team, which is kind of the CEO's dream, to move into a company with a product already defined and a good tech team in place. And another advantage is, you know, as I was working with them, I knew that a lot of the people I would be selling this technology to were ex-military. And I thought, man, what a great way to just build off of what I've done with Beyond the Uniform. So that was one option, and it would have allowed me to stay here in Denver and kind of build up a team here. The second option was joining a local startup here in Denver. And one of the founders was actually a Naval Academy grad and Navy guy as well. Two co-founders, really bright guys. They'd been working on the idea for a year. They'd already raised $1 million in funding, and they wanted me to join to go on to raise more funding. And so I ended up taking that job. And just to give you transparency into my thinking, what I told the friend of mine who started that first company was, look, man, if I join you and this succeeds, then it's great. You know, everyone's happy. But if I join you and the company doesn't succeed, I don't know what I'm doing wrong here, because this will be the second time that I'm CEO of a tech company that didn't work out the way I wanted, and I don't really know what's going on here. And so what appealed to me most about the second option was it gave me the most new information. It gave me the most data. I would learn, do I like working in an in-person office environment, which I hadn't worked in a couple of years. I'd been working remotely. It would mean that I wasn't CEO for the first time in 8 years. I wasn't the primary decision maker. It would mean that I wouldn't own product. I had been running our product for 8 years at Storybox, but in my capacity as chief revenue officer, I'd be focused exclusively on sales and marketing. I wouldn't have to worry about that. And it would give me the chance to not be the founder, to not be emotionally intertwined with the success or failure of the business. And so a lot of my motivation in making that leap was, let me get more data and more information. And I spoke with the former dean at Stanford Business School, who's a friend of mine, and ran this decision by him. I ran the decision by many friends. And his advice was, he said, you know what, Justin, you're going to learn just as much about what you did right at Storybox as you do about what you did wrong at Storybox. And those words were definitely true. I think that the year at this other startup gave me even more confidence to see how capable I am to start and run a company, to see how many things I did right at Storybox where the market or the product weren't the right fit, but the way that I approached the company, the way that I approached leading a team, the way that I approached sales, the way that I approached a variety of things was the right thing. And so that was a great part of that experience. And it was a great part of the experience was getting that new data, learning about myself, switching my environment to something dramatically different than I had before, and then trying to pay attention to how I felt about that. And so over the last year, there were good things and bad things about the experience, but I started to learn something about myself. And I would say, you know, in so many of the interviews I do with veterans, they always talk about self-knowledge. And here I am 10 years out, having done 250 interviews, thinking I know what I want, and maybe not as much learning something new about what I want, but more of realizing that what I want changed. And I would say a big component for me in my own personal journey was honesty with myself. I would say the biggest two things were honesty and alignment. And I'll give you specific examples. And so one of the things that I realized was I really prize autonomy, independence, and control. I like to be able to work on what I want to work on, when I want to work on it, where I want to work on it. I started to think back in my time at Storybox where my wife and I were both working remotely. And we were able to work in Steamboat Springs, Colorado for 6 weeks over the summer. And it was so energizing to wake up, go for a bike ride, work. It was just really incredible having that ability. And on the control piece, I really started to realize how much I like to be efficient. And one way for me to be efficient is, hey, if I want to go skiing on a Wednesday to beat the rush, great, I'll ski on a Wednesday and I'll work on a Saturday. It doesn't make a difference to me. Or I'll go to the grocery store at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday because it's not crowded and I'll work later. And just realizing that I have the discipline to work, but I also have the efficiency to know when to work. And also a big component of that is being able to pay attention to how I feel, of what am I energized to work on in this moment. And another recognition around alignment is realizing, you know, I just had a baby, a five-week-old Bodhi Matthew Nasiri, and realizing he's going to be in school in a couple years and we're not going to have that flexibility. So why not take that leap right now to enjoy that autonomy and independence? And then the other part of that is variety, realizing how much I enjoy variety. That's one of the reasons I love Beyond the Uniform, how meaningful this is in my life, because it's a different way to creatively energize myself. It's a different way to learn and interact and engage with others. And so the piece around honesty for me was realizing then, okay, I have clarity on the type of life that I want. And also another piece is I started to gain confidence in my own ability. I think that was a big growth over the last year, is believing in myself, seeing the value that I can provide in any enterprise, and realizing that I have what it takes to go and do things on my own, that I can create the life that I want, that I can create other companies, that I can do consulting work to pay the bills, being able to realize that that's a possibility based on the last 10 years of experience I've built up. So what held me back, and this was really surprising to me, was I think it was a lot of just caring what other people thought. I think that through my experience at business school and in startups, I started to create this story that I needed to make tens of millions of dollars to be successful or to be happy. And so part of that first part of the honesty was realizing I'm okay. Hey, I'm okay taking this alternate career path that's aligned with who I am, that's aligned with my unique aspirations. And if I do that and I make less money, great. You know, it's better for me to be happy and fulfilled and to set that example for my son of being willing to take a risk on myself to live the life that's uniquely suited to who I am. And so that comfort with me and with my conversations with my wife of, hey, I may make significantly less money doing this, but I'm going to be significantly more happy. And I'm very fortunate to have had to have a spouse who's enthusiastically supportive of that. And then the second piece of this was, oh, and you know, one other story on that. My wife and I just bought a house here in Denver, and you know, I went for a run. We live close to this beautiful park called Washington Park. We live about 0.8 miles away from it. And so I love to run to the park and run around it and run back. And so I was going for a run. And as I got closer to the park, I was about two blocks away. And I thought, oh man, it would be so great to live here next. This would be great to have a house that's just 0.6 miles closer to the park. And the insight that dawned on me is, and it's totally cool if that never happens. It's great if I live in this house 0.8 miles from the park for the rest of my life. That realization of how our expectations creep, how they always grow, and how they're never met. And to realize that, like, of course, it would be great to move into this bigger, nicer house in a better area. And if I do that, guess what? I'm going to go on for a run and find the next house that would be best. It's just a never-ending slope. And part of that realization is having friends and friends of friends who have made obscene amounts of money, and it hasn't affected their happiness. This myth that that's the end-all, be-all, or the single measure of success. And, you know, quite recently, we've had Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, both in the same week, fantastically successful, fantastically recognized and famous people who tragically take their own life. And so to realize, seeing this pattern over and over again, that that's not the answer, that wealth and financial gain is not the answer for me. and to realize that pleasure deferment of saying, hey, I'm going to work my butt off until I'm 65 and then spend time with my family, that's not what I wanted for myself. And I just want to stress in this very long monologue and diatribe, I hope what comes through this is what's uniquely true for me, what's uniquely true of what I've learned in the last 15 years about what I want and what I enjoy. And I'm not prescribing that for anyone else. It's, you know, do your own work, figure out what works for you. And also owning that this is what works for me right now. It doesn't have to be forever. Maybe in 5 years, I want to be part of a major company and travel all the time. Or maybe I want to join someone else's startup. Or maybe I, you know, who knows what. But all I need to worry about is what works for me and my family in this moment. And that's at least how I approach the decision. And so the other component of this honesty for me that I struggled with was comparison. And for me, some triggers that I've noticed that I'm trying to stay away from is social media. It's very easy for me to look at Facebook or for me to look at LinkedIn and just get really depressed. And I see someone, I'm like, oh man, this person just raised $100 million. Why couldn't I have done that? Oh man, this person's vacationing in Greece. Why can't I be doing that? And it really activates this part of me that's not helpful, that doesn't make me creatively energized, that doesn't make me excited to do work, that doesn't make me fulfilled and really delighted. And so I realized that in making this career change, in choosing a career path that's uniquely suited for my abilities and for my desires, you know, there's a good chance no one on earth will ever look at me and envy what I do. If I'm doing consulting work, if I'm doing, you know, piddling around on Beyond the Uniform and other projects that I love and maybe no one else does, there's a lot of people that I went to school with, a lot of people that I knew and grew up with that may say, oh man, Justin, he's, you know, just wasted his life. Oh man, Justin, he could have done something great and he didn't. Or, oh, Justin's just not capable and he's just playing in the kiddie pool over there. And I hate to admit it, but I think it took me months and months to get past that and to say, look, just as I'm willing to make a career move that may be less financially lucrative, in the same way, I may be making a career move that people will view me as a failure, and that's totally okay. If that's the worst thing that's happened to me, that's fine. And I just want to be honest about my own approach because it's not like I'm immune to that. I imagine over the next 5 years, I will continuously fall into that trap of looking at others, being comparative, being jealous, but I want to choose a life where I can as consciously as possible and as frequently as possible, choose to opt out of that and to choose to set the life that I want for my family and myself and not have others dictate that. So that is the kind of long way of saying what has transpired for me and what's ahead for me. I will be doing a lot of consulting with other startups, helping them out. I've been fortunate that the universe has rewarded me in my decision and that I've got a lot of contracts already lined up and feel confident in my financial stability on this path. I am also really grateful that Storybox continues to operate, that continues to be able to provide me with some money. And then I'm really excited about a couple other business ideas that I'm starting to work on. And one other quick call out, if you haven't listened to episode number 96, I do a book review of a book called Deep Work. As I'm doing this independent lifestyle, deep work is my Bible. I go through an exercise that Cal Newport talks about, and I talk about in that episode of planning out my day the day before, planning out every 30-minute increment, setting what I'm working on. That discipline that I learned in the military becomes so vital as I take a life that is more entrepreneurial in nature, more free in nature, more structureless in nature. So check out that episode if you want to do that as well. So the next piece that I just wanted to talk about is a sneak peek of where I'm at. I've got my to-do list and many items on there are Beyond the Uniform. And I also wanted to just kind of like share the emotional component of this is that in the year ahead, as I look at the pie chart of my life, Beyond the Uniform will continue to play a role. We'll have 2 podcasts a week. We currently have them all the way through June already, so I anticipate that for the rest of the year. But I do want to spend more time on Beyond the Uniform, but I want to do some new things and some different things. And some of those that you'll be hearing about through our newsletter are different mediums, video courses that I've started to put together that present a lot of the information I've learned over the last 3 years in video form and a curriculum format. I'm really excited about that. That's been a very energizing project. And then another one, the one that I'm most excited about, is mastermind groups. And that is meeting with just a small number of people on a weekly basis as a group, as well as one-on-one, to be able to help out with whatever that group is going through, whether that's starting a company, whether that's doing a career change, whether that's doing career exploration, but using the group and my own experience to help us all achieve our full potential. And it's something I'm very, very excited about. I'll be announcing more through our newsletter as well as through other podcast updates. But just to let you know where I'll be spending some of my time. And I also want to own as well that some of these components that I'm working on will be paid for components. Some of the video courses will be free. Some of them will be paid. The mastermind group will be a paid group. Part of the reason, especially for the mastermind to do that, is one, just to verify a level of commitment, establish a set level of standing to have people in the group have equal levels of commitment. But I wanted to share, because it does relate to the interviews, there was a struggle for a long time of thinking of adding a component to Beyond the Uniform that wasn't free. And I always intend to keep the podcast free. That will always be a resource that anyone in the world can listen to anytime at any location. But the reason I share this is in the interviews that I do, I so often hear of how people struggle to advocate for themselves, how they struggle in a job interview, in networking, to claim their value, to claim ownership of what they have to contribute, and to advocate for their own needs, of saying, this is what my family needs, this is what I need, this is what I want, and that's valid. I don't have to make a sacrifice. I made my sacrifice in the military. Now that I'm doing my own career, I don't have to. I don't have to compromise in location and functional role and job and salary. I can find the job that's perfect for me. And so one thing that sparked in my mind as I thought of doing these, you know, justifying additional investment time-wise and financially and beyond the uniform, I realized, I had this epiphany of like, oh man, this is not a job interview, but I'm doing the same thing. I'm not wanting to advocate for myself. I'm not wanting to recognize the value that I have to offer. I'm not willing to advocate for, hey, in order to spend time on this, I need to make money. I'm not able to be honest about that. And so I wanted to share that with you as well. It was like just an interesting realization for me that that's a trait that so many people I have on the show have. And I realized it as a blind spot in my own life. And so I think part of the realization that had me leave the last job, and part of the realization that's having me set off on this new path, is more of a realization of the value I have to offer. And with respect to these Beyond the Uniform programs, it's really saying, like, man, over the last 3 years, I've been so fortunate to meet with over 250 incredible veterans and learn from them and study them and understand what made them successful and understand where veterans succeed and commonalities. And that's a lot of value that I'm excited to offer in a different format in addition to everything I'm already doing. So very long kind of diatribe for me, but that is my update on what's going on in my life. Welcome your feedback in the comments on the website, responding to our newsletter on social media, which I'm not as good at, but thankfully Rick Healy's helping us out on that. And very, very excited for those of you where maybe I've piqued your curiosity on the mastermind group. Steve Bain and I talk about how, you know, the podcast is it's kind of a one-way conversation, and we're doing work and we get some feedback, but a lot of the ways it's just kind of shouting into the darkness, knowing from the numbers that a lot of people are benefiting from this, but not getting a lot of two-way. And one of the things I'm most excited about in the mastermind groups is it's something I've done on my own before and learned a tremendous amount from others, but I'm so excited to see many of your faces through a video conferencing, to hear many of your voices, to see what's going well for you and learning from what's going well for you, hearing where you're struggling and finding ways that I and the other members of the mastermind group can contribute to you achieving your peak potential on a personal and professional level. So that's all for now. I hope you are all doing well, and it's exciting to release this episode in real time. We're still spieling out episodes recorded prior to becoming a father with Bodhi, so excited to kind of connect in real time. Have a great day, and tons of incredible episodes coming up for you. Talk soon.